Headlines around our region have reflected the growing problem of heroin in our communities. On April 11th, from 6 to 8, there is a community meeting at the Blandin Foundation to discuss heroin. Itasca County Sheriff Vic Williams will be, or his office will be there, and he joins us in the studio now. Sheriff Vic, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, John Heidi. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, I think one of the big things is some people know about heroin and some people have no idea what's going on in our communities. And I wonder if you can kind of lay a little groundwork for us on what is happening out there.
Well, whenever you see the cycle in the drug process, there's always revisits by some old nemesis. And that's what I'd refer to heroin as. A lot of these drug problems don't ever totally go away. There's either a reduction in supply or reasons that it drops off because of the cost of creating it. Right now, in the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen a real uptick in the use of heroin. First thing I see from a lot of people is the surprise of, really, here in Itasca County? And yes, it's among us. It's dangerous. It's one of the most, if not the most addictive drug that is circulating in those circles right now. And we're doing everything we can to combat it. Educational pieces, this worldview, this big view that you're going to see at the Blandin Foundation, kudos to Circles of Support for bringing this out to where they can see and have a conversation in the community about it.
Well, tell us a little more about heroin. How is it an expensive drug for people to buy?
Yeah, right now street value on heroin we're finding is about $300 to $400 per gram.
Okay.
It's a very potent drug. We're seeing that the people that do get it, once you're hooked, you're stuck. I mean, it's a one-time use, oftentimes leads to continued use and very hard to get off of.
I'd heard that a lot of the problem with heroin was that the use of these what are they, heroin mimics, the OxyContins, the oxycodones, the drugs that were given out for pain kind of led to this, and that people were taking those drugs and selling them, you know, getting a prescription for a pain drug like oxycodone and then selling that drug on the market, and that sort of created the market for heroin. Is that seem to be the truth? Or,
well, whenever you have an opiate derivative, a lot of the painkillers are come from the opium plant itself, and when you have these things, they are precursors to addiction. The true monster here, and a lot of times we don't like to face it, is the level of addiction. That is the first stage. A lot of times it starts out as a pain reduction method, oftentimes prescribed, sometimes not prescribed because the prescriptions make their way onto the street. And I think it's important to realize that anytime you start into that phase of need or want when it comes to drug-related stuff, there's always the tipping point that it starts. And to take that final step to use the illicit or illegal drugs that are in the community right now is probably your last stage in your addiction before either it results in your death or you have to go somewhere to get help.
What are you seeing in the community? How have things escalated?
We've seen arrests that we've had recently. We've had a great cooperative effort with the Grand Rapids Police Department, my sheriff's office, and the members of our state group, the BCA. Recent arrests have went for federal charges. Jack Muhar's office is not taking this stuff lightly. I mean, he's going after it on the legal side of it to see that there's maximum penalties handed out. We see it's crossing jurisdictional boundaries. There's no borders to what's happening here. Just to give you an idea of what we're looking at as far as the spike, the 20-year figures that we're looking at starting in 1993, there were 290 heroin reported deaths in that 20-year time period. 98 of them occurred in 2013.
Wow.
So when one-third of your estimated deaths resulting from heroin occurred in a 20-year period and one-third of them happened in 1 year, it's back and it's a problem. Hardest part about identifying this and making people aware is when we combat a lot of these drugs, you see it, you see people going for treatment, you see people in the paper that suddenly have died at a certain age that's, you know, not related to cancer. this thing is among us. And for people to be aware, the police can't be everywhere. And we need our eyes and ears out there telling us. In that same 20-year period, in 1993, 450 people in the state of Minnesota were seeking heroin-related treatment or addressing their addiction problem. In 2013, that number was 4,500. So when we start to look at the numbers of those seeking help, that's the surface of what's being used out there, because these people are to the final stages. So it's critical that the community wakes up and sees what's going on around us. The things you'll notice in people is all of a sudden they become secluded, depression, change in appetite, irritability. A lot of the common things that follow with like meth or with any of them are the nausea, the sickness, the decay, and how somebody's physical presence is. If you notice these things, the only way to stop heroin is to intervene. And I'd warn people out there, these drugs are floating around. We've had recently where we've been notified that people are creating these cocktails where there's a heroin mixed with fentanyl. These are deadly combinations. And to use these painkillers in conjunction or these illegal drugs in conjunction with a controlled prescription-type drug increases the impact on your body tenfold. And a lot of times, that's when we find them. The mix was wrong, the dose was wrong, and led to their death.
I'd heard that there's a drug out there on the market that can bring people back from the edge of death if they've gotten into one of these cocktails. Are your officers carrying this drug with them in case they encounter this, or do the EMS people have it, or how is that working here?
Right now, we are limiting that to our EMS. We have great EMS and great response times on most of our locations in the county. Mm-hmm. We are not carrying Narcan right now.
Is that what it's called?
The drug that is utilized to stop the drug in its tracks.
Right.
The problem with some of these things is introducing something into somebody's body. And we'll look at trainings and the liability of what happens. But when you come across someone like this and you have no way of knowing what they've got in their system, you know, there's a lot of, I want medical eyes looking at this and making this decision. Uh-huh. And right now the EMS and the local ambulances are really good about triaging our drug responses.
And what about somebody who, let's say you know somebody who has got a problem with heroin. Typically, if you notified the authorities, that person's going to get arrested. Are we working toward maybe changing that outlook so that these people end up in treatment and getting help rather than just being arrested for the possession of heroin? I mean, how's that working?
It's a fine line for the sheriff to sit here and say, I'm not going to get you in trouble if you're possessing heroin. The key to this is the fact of identify it, get them help. Our goal right now is to get this drug off the street.
Right.
The only way to truly address drug problems is solving the addiction portion. And will we ever erase the demand? Probably not. But can we diminish it? Can we offer avenues? This is a tremendous burden on the criminal justice system. When I take someone into my custodial care in the jail, I now become responsible for their health and welfare, including their medical attention and anything else that relates to their health. Well, we're bringing these people into our facility whose bodies are basically destroyed by a drug that they're addicted to. So now not only do I have the elements of their illegal activity, we now inherit the elements of their physical condition, their mental condition, and all run hand in hand. With the sheriff's office now, we are actually implementing some psychological help, too, to try to get these people. Lucas Thompson, my jail administrator, has recently put into play what's called a RAP program, which is the programming that plans for them to be released. We used to give people 3 days' worth of their medications and hope they survive. Now when they leave, we tried to build a plan for them so that when they go with adequate medication and a goal of either going to therapy, signing up with their probation, somewhere that somebody's got the baton handed to them to stop this cycle of them coming right back in. So there's all kinds of different levels that we're trying to combat this, because are these people criminals? Yes, because they're in possession of an illegal substance. Is their whole problem the illegal portion? No. They're addicted to something that is terrible.
We're talking with Itasca County Sheriff Vic Williams today on the Tuesday morning show about heroin in our communities. I had heard also that, you know, I asked you about the cost of this for people, and you said, I think you said 300 for a gram, 300 to, and how much do people use in one, like what's the cost for?
About 1 gram.
One, okay.
And that, so that's about per hit. And this okay. A very expensive habit, a very dangerous habit. The more they cut it down, the more chance of error they get. The more they mix it with other cocktails, like we talked about earlier. These are all, whenever, heroin is dangerous by itself. Mix it with anything, and you've created a very complicated mixture with a unsure outcome.
Where's the heroin coming from?
There's a lot of it coming from the major municipalities, the major cities it's flowing through right now. Some of it's coming across our southern borders. I think California is looking at a very high rate of this also. But we're not limited. This is a United States problem, not a Minnesota problem.
But this isn't something like marijuana where a person could be growing it in their backyard. This is something that's much more sophisticated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not homegrown. The volume that you'd have to have to do it is, you know, there's a lot of people that are growing this worldwide. We all know where they're at and what they're doing, but it makes its way here, and there's an ample supply of it.
I guess what apparently there is an ample supply. I guess what I was thinking is, you know, you're bringing heroin to the United States, and I always thought that it would be something centered in major metropolitan areas, because by the time you satisfied your customer base there, there wouldn't be enough for it to spread to a small town like Grand Rapids. But apparently there is enough.
Yeah. And it follows the demand. That's what happens. You have it leach out into areas where we can make it, like when meth was at its peak. And people were making these quasi-laboratories and creating their own. When you snuff that out, there's still places that make sure that area gets what it needs, even if you're not making it right next door.
Supply and demand.
Scary.
Yeah.
So, again, what are some of the things we should be looking for? First of all, how are people using heroin? Is it they shoot heroin?
Yeah, it's mostly through injections. And that's another thing, is a lot of times you will see paraphernalia that goes with it, burnt spoons with mixtures on them. These are the things you look for if all of a sudden you see a syringe in a person's car and they're not diabetic. You know, there's a red flag that something's out of line.
And as always, addiction of any kind really crosses all boundaries of class and race and all that kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
Are you seeing that?
Yeah, this is not limited to any group, demographic, culture. It is widespread.
All right. Well, the community meeting is coming up this Monday night. It's hosted by Kutaska Community Action and Circles of Support. It's at the Blandon Foundation Community Room from 6 to 8 o'clock. It's free and open to the public. Anything else we should know?
No, I want people to not be afraid of this, not be taken back. These levels have always been amongst us. Right now they're peaking. We just need people to be comfortable in being able to say, I've seen it and I've had enough, or point us in the direction where we can take care of it. Anyone who would give us information, as always, we do everything we can to protect the people that help us, because without the community and the eyes out there letting us know what's happening, it just increases our battle that much more.
All right. If you have a comment or you want to add to the conversation about heroin in northern Minnesota, and we'll be talking with people from other parts of our region as well, please send us an email, comments@kaxe.org. This conversation part of Area Voices, telling the stories of culture and history of northern Minnesota, and made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the State of Minnesota. Sheriff, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you guys.